to section 4, number 1. Case 2454 regarding Aaron Miracle, DVM. Oh, is Mr.
Oh, he left.
Here, is Flynn back? Oh, you're
was that the last informal?
Yes.
Because if it is, we're supposed to go to back up to number 225108, which it says it's after the last informal.
Yeah, I got 4-1 is also last or after last. She did it twice.
Well, we have council waiting on this one, so we've got to.
We've got some people. I don't know that we're going to make the agenda.
We got two more things. I'm going to call the public.
Okay. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. All right. So we're getting him on the phone?
That's my understanding.
You mean Flynn left you here?
He said he had to pick up his own dogs, so it's reasonable.
She approved.
High and dry.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Told you that's rough.
It's like dog ate my homework.
What are we waiting for?
We have to call the attorney, and I'm guessing Victoria has his number. And she's got to have them watch the door, because if anybody comes,
right.
Then
yeah.
So double duty right now.
Yes,
sir.
I think you should send her like a fruit bouquet or something.
Yeah. To Victoria?
No. The court report.
Oh, yeah. I know. I saw her over there with her hand. I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I've watched videos of stenographers, and I still can't figure out how it works. I'm like, they're just making this up.
Yeah.
It's like, they're just like, there's four keys.
We need to give her a bow and arrow with rubber tips.
That'd be good.
A bucket of ice water.
Okay, so we're going to get Flynn on the phone. Hi Flynn, it's Victoria. I've got you here with the board. I've got you on speakerphone. Dr. Miracle is ready. I'm going to turn you over to Ms. Frost, okay?
All right, sounds good.
So we're on section 4, number 1, case 2454 regarding Aaron Miracle, DVM. Monthly appearance is required by consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, and take action on information provided, which may include modification of consent agreement. We are in receipt of the information that was provided. And so, I guess, unless you have anything to open with, I can go from there.
I think that's fine. We're just seeking the potential modification to the agreement as indicated in our letter.
Right. So what we received was requesting a change in frequency to telephonic and then also testing frequency. However, we did get a copy of what Oregon, the agreement that was entered into in Oregon, which rides entirely on Arizona's agreement.
Correct.
Right, and so, and the desire is to maintain the Arizona license.
That's correct. She's contemplating the ability to still provide services here in Arizona as well.
Right, but, and then these were, so this was a consent agreement that we all entered into, and these were the terms. So I guess the thing is that this hasn't really changed for us. Again, because the onus at this point is still on us to make sure that we're keeping everything together as we all agreed to.
Right. Our position is that, first of all, with the agreement already allows her to convert to telephonic if she's residing out of state. That was actually already contemplated in the agreement itself. There's a line in the agreement that actually provides for that. The changes related to decreasing a frequency of either visits to the board or of the testing is also contemplated as something she could ask, and it's not dependent on her geographic location. It's simply something that she's permitted to request, which are, after a period of time, she is allowed to request a drop in number of month-to-month visits, and then also she can make the request based on the consent agreement for decrease in testing if the board allows that.
Sure. And I think that the position, at least that I would want to put on record, is that making a major life move like that is a very stressful situation, and it's something that I would be concerned, you know, could pose some issues. I think the other one that I made note of is that the council we approved is in Arizona, and so what are the plans for that?
I am currently seeking out referrals for counselor and a psychiatrist in Oregon that would be local to where we are in Oregon, because I want to make sure that there isn't a gap in seeing my current providers and then moving and then, you know, being on a wait list for 6 months. We're in the process of getting that, and as soon as I have that information to give to the board for approval on a counselor, I will absolutely give it.
So you're planning on transitioning over time so you have Oregon service providers?
Because I will physically reside in Oregon now.
I'm uncomfortable with that. Approving someone who's not an Arizona licensee for your health provider. That's what I was hoping you were going to say, that there was some way to do telemedicine or something.
I can certainly look into it. There are plenty of options for therapy and for psychiatric care and even more care via telemedicine. So I can certainly look into finding someone who is licensed not only in Oregon, but also in Arizona. My current therapist is not. Which is a bummer because I really like her, but I can certainly look into a telemedicine aspect. That's not a problem.
Because I have no idea what Oregon does as far as licensing their professionals and all that.
So absolutely. I think that's reasonable.
If I may, too, the Arizona is now part of the Interstate Compact for Counseling, and so I have to talk to Toby over at Behavioral Health. But I anticipate those applications are going to open. So, you know, at some point soon, she should also have access to people who are allowed to cross, who are part of the compact, which means that they are cross-licensed and they have a privilege to practice in other states, essentially, as part of the compact. But I can definitely work with her to identify someone that may be able to have meet the criteria still for the board at this point.
Okay. All right, any other questions from board members?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, at this point, I don't think there's anything further for us to do, but, if you can keep us updated on those things, that'd be great.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'll get you that information. Would I be planning for June? Still monthly.
To appear by phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
No problem.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And then,
finally.
So we are section 2, initial investigative review and action of the following cases. Number 13, case 25108, regarding Ayman Ibrahim. Hi.
Ibrahim.
So Tracy, I haven't read the front load on this, or?
Oh,
God. Since it's an IRS.
Sorry about that. Let's see here. Okay, so in this case, 25108. This case was opened by the board on February 19th, 2025, and the board opened the investigation with respect to respondent's settlement agreement that he entered into with the California Veterinary Medical Examiner's Board. Of course, this case back to you to review and evaluate, and did not go in front of the investigative committee.
Okay. Thank you. And Ms. Solomon, you were the lead.
Yes. I know, Dr. Wright, you're going to be terribly disappointed, but at this point, there is really no point in going through each finding by the California Vet Board. Number one, we don't have the sufficient information to make a determination. Number two, we don't have jurisdiction over California. So I think it's the question of not were those things violations in Arizona, but does the very volume of what occurred create sufficient concern for protecting the public that we may want to do a consent agreement with some special conditions, which is what I would like to propose.
Okay.
Dr. Ibrahim, before I start, was there anything you would like to say?
A few things, if you don't mind. I didn't make a speech or anything, but I need to highlight some points that may help you making the right decision. So regarding that you just mentioned about the volume.
Yeah.
I've been practicing since 2006.
We have that information.
Yes, yeah. So I've been 20 years practice. So if you compare the volume of the cases that has issues, comparing to the volume that I have been treated, that's a point I want to make to you. That's number one. Number two, it's going to be very hard to rely on other state board that cases that you did not investigate yourself, which you've been very very thoroughly investigate every case. So that's another point. The next point is, what if they got it wrong? There's many of these cases are subjective. It should be go this way or go another way.
We're going to offer a consent agreement, and then
is it already?
We're not going to re-adjudicate what California did.
Right. So what she's proposing is a consent agreement, and then you will have the opportunity to review it, and then you can decide if you would like to sign it and move forward. Otherwise, we would go to another step that we could go through this process. That we could discuss further all of your points.
Yeah. Right. So
So she's going to make that proposal right now. Right.
Okay. So I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we're just going to let her make her proposal, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Let me go into my points. I have offering a consent agreement because, again, the concern here is about protecting the public in Arizona, not re-adjudicating what California did, not trying to determine what any item would be a violation if it occurred here in Arizona.
Right.
It didn't, so that's a moot point. In order to protect the public, I move we offer a consent agreement with the following terms. One, a state suspension of 30 days. And that suspension is stayed based on compliance with the consent agreement. Number two, probationary period of 3 years. And the reason I selected 3 years is ours will end right after California's ends, the probationary period. Condition number three is that obey all laws, state of Arizona, federal laws regarding controlled substances, DEA, that kind of thing. Number four is quarterly reports to the board, and that will go to the executive director, and any issues of non-compliance that the executive director would find would be agendized for the board's review. Also, to retake the state exam. Instead of having you review the statutes and rules and regs, taking the Arizona state exam and passing with a score of at least 75.
The law exam?
Yeah.
The medical exam?
Jurisprudence.
Just the law.
The
Arizona.
Yeah. Okay. And based on, and with some practice restrictions. that you would not be a responsible veterinarian during those 3 years, that you would not be a practice owner during those 3 years. You mentioned that you, if your intent is to work part-time or in relief.
Correct.
This would allow this to happen.
Correct.
Okay. And that your practice would be limited to part-time and relief. And the rest of my notes here. Ah. And that for the first year of your probation, you're to have direct supervision by an Arizona licensed veterinarian. And that you would be excluded for the full 3 years you couldn't supervise other veterinarians, you couldn't supervise veterinary students or veterinary technicians. And if not signed within 30 days, return to inform.
He's not a licensee. This is his application. So it would be to
so we have, is it a renewal?
It's a renewal.
Yes.
So to approve him renewing.
Right, otherwise it would be to deny his renewal application.
I'm not following either.
Wow.
It's a renewal application.
Yeah.
So you either have to approve it.
Or deny.
Or deny it. But what I'm hearing is that you're approving it subject to a consent agreement.
Right.
If he doesn't sign it, are you going to renew it and then open up a complaint? Or,
I see what you're saying.
You know, you have to do something.
Sign the consent agreement and then approve the renewal.
He's saying you either have to approve or deny the renewal.
Oh.
And then, let's say you approve the renewal, then the consent agreement, okay. if not signed, then you'd have to open a case.
Okay, got it.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's very close.
Okay, I feel like we're getting it.
What I'm suggesting is what we typically do in this case is offer a consent agreement for the renewal of his license, subject to whatever terms and conditions. If he doesn't sign the consent agreement, then you're left with the choice of either denying or approving the renewal and opening up a complaint. If you approve the renewal, then
right.
opening
the,
up a complaint.
The consent agreement comes first, right, Mark?
That would be the optimal
okay.
way to dispose
okay.
of it.
And then after he signs the signs the consent agreement, then it would be approve or deny the renewal, or do we add that as
part of it?
Okay. Then I'll add to my list, subject to Dr. Ibrahim signing the consent agreement, approving his renewal.
It'll be part of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that
anybody have any concerns?
Can I have a few questions?
Let's first. Make sure
yeah, the board, yeah.
And then that way, if we approve something, then you'd have time to be able to review it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, and then I want to ask clarifying questions.
Okay. No, go ahead. You can ask.
Right.
You can.
So when you said the quarterly reports, the reports about, from him writing a report about what he's doing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And could, you know, his,
like his
is he complying with the consent agreement?
Okay.
Yeah.
I think
and yeah, and you know, if there are any, you know, if he's encountered, you know, there's standard reporting requirements that you'd have anyway. If you change employers, if you have a new employer, oh, and you would have to give the consent agreement to any employer that would hire you.
Yeah, well, would it be any practice he's working with? Because if he's doing relief, then you're actually your own employer, right? So.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, you're self-employed
okay.
if you're relief.
So, Mark, is that true in the case of if he is a relief veterinarian that he wouldn't need to provide a copy of the consent agreement?
It depends on how it's worded.
So if you say employer,
yes.
then he's his own employer. But if you say any...
Because
any
he's an independent contractor.
Right.
Yes.
So you're saying
you
any practice that
or,
he's worked,
yeah,
working
practice.
With?
Just say they're responsible vet of any practice where he may work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
okay.
So
that he's just
sense.
Entering into a contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
With
and
the places he works. He's not an employee.
Okay. I won't drop the term employee and just a copy of the consent agreement supplied to the responsible veterinarian of the premise.
Got that.
Where
okay.
he is working.
Second, okay. My second question is, you said the practice limited to part-time relief work. So relief could be
part-time and or relief work. However, yeah.
No full-time?
Pardon?
No full-time?
That's,
no?
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Okay.
Could he work?
Well, relief work, you can.
Full-time.
Yeah, relief work, you can do full-time.
Is there a
yeah.
reason to limit his amount of the amount of time he works? Like, I don't know what the reason for that is.
Like, you only do 20 hours total in a week?
Yeah.
Yeah, you try.
No.
Yeah, no, I
wouldn't
limit that.
So it would not be, so it would just be, there would be no restrictions on part-time relief because relief you can do more
okay.
than full-time.
Okay, let's strike that.
So just yeah. practice limited to this relief, but why wouldn't you want him to work in a regular?
That's a, yeah, that's yeah. a thing. Yeah. I would just strike that whole
okay,
section.
Okay, strike it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Strike that.
And then when you say direct supervision, what is your vision of what that means? Because by the law, it just means that there's another vet physically at the building.
That's
which is not always going to happen with relief.
It's not,
that's kind of the point of relief.
Nobody's going to hire me this way.
Yeah.
If I have somebody, nobody will hire me. That's I'm not going to get hired.
That might be debatable, but that's, yeah, that's.
This is the main thing. If I have to have another doctor with me,
yeah.
so I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, the other doctor, right, that's a little hard on a relief
it's
job.
Not
that
right,
that basically
not,
eliminates most of your relief.
But if it's not, okay. I was going to say not for me, it doesn't.
Yeah, it depends on.
Yeah, the
type
of relief.
It's supposed
yeah,
to. I mean, regular relief is different,
but
that's
not
real relief.
You want a quarterly report from the responsible veterinarian.
But if it's relief, then that's.
Is it responsible meaning supervisor or responsible is different than supervisor?
It's something different. The responsible veterinarian is the license holder for the hospital.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
the medical.
Yeah.
But yeah, quarterly yeah. report from random hospital that he worked at one time on a given day because that's not going to do much for me.
And that'd be a lot of.
Now, if he had like a separate practice monitor, like one of the doctors that goes in and checks the hospital randomly and submits a report to us that way, but I think that's overkill.
That's going to be hard for relief.
Yeah, for relief. Yeah,
not
an established
monitor
so,
situation.
Yeah, it's really difficult.
So I would look at it if he's required to give the consent agreement to wherever he's working,
yeah.
they're
yeah.
fully aware of what they're
okay.
taking on, right?
Okay,
yeah.
So no reporting requirement from the responsible vet from the RV and no limit on hours work. Then that gets removed. Part time
and no supervisor. Because nobody will hire me if I have some advisor.
I mean, technically you have one if there's a responsible
right.
veterinarian.
Right.
Responsible
veterinarian.
Yeah,
responsible
veterinarian.
That's why you
yes.
have to provide it.
At
yes.
whatever
oh, but not
at
the, he's asking on the same day that he's working, does
right.
he have to have that other veterinarian
right.
on the same?
As far as direct supervision.
Yeah.
No.
Wouldn't be
yeah.
in person.
No.
That's
right.
all the things
right.
you have.
Yeah.
But everything else
yeah.
is
yeah, exactly.
fair
yeah.
and
okay.
decent.
Okay.
But
okay.
this one is
yeah.
not the
okay.
whole
it's
thing.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank
you. Did
you
have any other?
One more thing. Is it any reason I cannot work full time as a regular employee?
No.
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 I can't.
Right.
Because I everything talk about part time and relief.
Yeah.
But
no,
also
I
full time is an option.
That part.
That's what you said.
Stricken.
You had said your goal is
that's,
to do part time.
I mean, to start, just a transitional.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of transition until I move.
Right.
A lot of times
no.
when you
because I'm my plan is to come work. And then I bring my family.
Right.
Yeah.
I deleted that from the consent agreement.
A lot of times when you become full-time at a specific practice,
right.
we may go and modify it, and now we want to report from your actual boss, so that may change it full-time,
yeah.
just so you know in the future. But again,
right.
that just depends.
But
yeah.
It's open.
Yeah.
yeah.
But so,
yeah.
so I mean, if you're at only one hospital, the supervisory might
yeah.
change a little bit.
One more thing. It's 3 years of probation. I already passed 1 year and a half in California. So we're going to start 3 years or it goes back when we start?
I'd be going to whatever
California
is.
Whatever lift is 1 year and a half.
Excuse me. The California agreement doesn't end until...
February 27th.
Right.
So we're going to... So,
so 3 years, this is
25. It's going to end in the same time.
No.
After.
It's going to pass...
You know, 3 years from today, we don't even have a violation though. We're going off of California's violations. We should probably stick with their time frame.
Well, we're going to have to find a violation. We're going to have findings of facts and conclusions as well.
Right, we're going to use
for this consent agreement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Say, because yeah, because
findings of fact are going to be
well. That's what we're just
at California.
Yeah.
Would it make
order.
Sense
but,
then for it to end like? December of 2027 if theirs ends February of 2027?
Well, this is my thing, though. Isn't this almost like a double jeopardy thing where it's like he's already been punished in California
and
we're going to extend another 3 years on top of it?
No, she's protecting Arizona. This is Arizona.
I know, but like I said, we're protecting... But we're protecting Arizona based off of the information made from California, and they determined 3 years.
Are there any other changes?
Going to expire, so do we go longer?
Do you want to vote for these individually, or...
So when theirs expire... Hold on. So when theirs expires, ours is done? Or does ours continue?
I believe
that's my question.
It depends. Yeah. It's up to the board.
Yeah, and that's the discussion I'm having, is why are we going to go beyond when California says the violation was in California and it's over and done with? Why are we continuing
it's
on?
It's not, okay. I want to make sure that if it gets extended in California...
Then you have to report this.
Then we extend ours. I want them to...
That'd be fine.
To make sure we're
covering
the same time
period.
Yeah, but why are we saying we'll do 3 years and then in a year and a half it's expired in California, but you still got a year and a half here?
A year and a half, it's two years.
3 years past year and a half already.
Okay.
It's 3 year probation, it's already past 1 year and a half.
That's why I'm like, why are we doing a year and a half beyond what the original
punishment
was?
Intention.
Pardon?
Okay.
That's not your intention.
No,
that's what I want to make sure.
When
California's done, I want to be ours wants to be done too.
Okay. Enough. Okay. That was not my intention. Thank you, Victor.
Okay.
So it will mirror the whatever the probation date is for in the state of California, and if that should get extended, it will be reported back to us. No direct supervision.
Thank you.
That's been dropped.
Thank you very much.
So I think what we'll do is, if it's okay with the board, is we'll put in language something to the effect that it will run concurrently with the California order, and the probation will expire upon his license being returned to active status in the state of California.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I like that.
Excellent.
All right. Okay. Any other points there? Or,
I'm clear.
Okay. All right. So
what is the conclusion for law?
Well, so we have to vote on that first.
Yeah. So I think if I don't, you know, I would ask the board in taking a look at this, perhaps your definition of gross incompetence, which would be. I just had it. Number 11. Gross incompetence is defined as any professional misconduct or unreasonable lack of professional skill in the performance of professional practices. It almost sounds like an umbrella to address the concerns from.
What? That number 11 of?
Well, and Tracy, chime in if you have better thoughts.
32,
23,
number 11.
Do you think that one fits?
I think it does. I think it is a good.
And it's defined on page 3 of your statutes. But feel free to identify what you think we, you know, better capture. What we
Although this didn't happen here in Arizona.
Right.
Right.
There's
right,
been
right.
no
it's the conduct. Yeah, unfortunately, right. We don't have a statute like other boards that say, you know, discipline in another.
Right.
So we're kind of left with that.
Okay. And that's based on California. That's
the conduct that occurred in California.
Is
there a reaction with that?
And any other options, Mark?
Well, I mean, sure, but that just seems to be kind of an umbrella to capture everything.
It's pretty heavy duty, though. I mean, you know.
I don't know what else. I mean, if you have another choice.
I wish I did.
Yeah, I mean, we're limited to our statutes.
Yeah, I wish I did. So we'll go with your suggestion.
Okay.
And that suggestion one more time is to...
Because we have to link it to our statute.
So we're just accepting there?
Well, the findings of fact will be based upon...
The California
agreement.
Right.
And then the violation
laws,
in Arizona would be one violation for your consideration is ARS 3222-3211 as it relates to gross incompetence, which is defined as any professional misconduct or unreasonable lack of professional skill in the performance of practice.
Okay, and that doesn't have to be limited to the state of Arizona?
No.
Okay.
So my question and concern here is relying on California stuff. I don't like some of their violations, and I don't like some of their conclusions of law with, like, a violation for an antibiotic injection. I mean, so it's like, so do we incorporate that into our conclusions of law just to be done with it and just say we're accepting theirs? Or do we go and nitpick and take stuff out and say that's not part of our conclusions?
The only conclusion of law that we're citing to is our statute.
Okay. So we're not referencing anything specifically here?
No.
Okay, good. Because I asked some of them, like...
No.
Okay.
What we're generically referencing is that he entered into a disciplinary order in the state of California.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
we're
fine.
Not getting specific. Okay. So moved. Is there a second?
Does that work?
That's okay. Does everybody...
Did everybody follow what our consent agreement proposal is?
We're going to offer the doctor a consent agreement for the renewal of his license,
right,
subject to the terms and conditions that we just discussed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that if he doesn't sign it, then it'll come back to you for further consideration.
Informal. Okay. And what do we want to do? It's not signed in 30 days, 60 days?
Probably like 30 days upon receipt.
Yeah.
Okay. And if he doesn't sign it, then it'll come back to you and you'll have to decide what to do next.
Okay.
Just one comment for Dr. Ibrahim. The response that we got, that we were talking about asking a response from you, was from California attorneys in 2023.
Correct.
That doesn't necessarily reflect Arizona law, and we're not going through the process of doing that comparison. So you have the right to have Arizona attorney licensed in Arizona to review the consent agreement.
And that'll be in the consent agreement.
Yeah, that's all boilerplate.
Okay, great.
Okay. All right, so that's the motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second to offer a consent agreement. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, call to the public.
Yeah.
No public. And then summary of current events. Seeing none. Section 10, establishment of future meeting date. The board will hold a special meeting on Tuesday, June 10th, 2025, beginning at 8:30 a.m. at 1740 West Adams Street. This will be in Boardroom C, Phoenix, Arizona, 85007. The next regular meeting will be held Wednesday, June 18th, 2025, beginning at 8:30 a.m. at 1740 West Adams Street, Boardroom B, Phoenix, Arizona, 85007. One or more board members may appear telephonically. And then section 11, adjournment, no motion.
Move the adjournment.
Second.
Motion and second, all in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Hooray.
Good job, we got through the day.